her relationships or lack thereof. That was bad. Like, how do you have this woman perpetually single and not getting any and leaving her home only option some barkeep on the holodeck?
First of all, she can go to the holodeck and get whatever she wants. She has a replicator. She can make whatever she needs.
But Janeway had I just got that replicator joke. I got that.
Welcome to the Black Alert Podcast, your melanated reference for all things Star Trek across all four quadrants. I'm Dre, and today, the bridge crew of myself, Tia, and Travis are joined by special guest Laura Pacheco as we continue our Captain series. And today, we're discussing Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get into it.
I'm so glad you added the of the Federation Starship Voyager, because that's her thing, right?
Yes.
I can't even say Catherine Janeway without adding that section in there. So we have Catherine Janeway.
First woman captain.
Leading a series. Captain of the Intrepid class, USS Voyager. With Janeway, we have a former science officer, and at the beginning of Voyager, we have the ship being thrown 75,000 light years into the Delta Quadrant by this entity called the Caretaker. And from there...
that first episode, oh goodness.
Yeah, it's good to know, it's good to watch so you understand who the bridge crew ends up being. That's all I have to say about that. But taking some of the storylines from other shows, Voyager becomes a crew of Starfleet officers and of Maquis officers. Chakotay, the first officer, was a captain of his own ship. Catherine Janeway's crew was on a mission to find his people and recover Tuvok, who was undercover in their crew. So thus begins the story of Catherine Janeway working to get her people back home.
And problems with the Kazon start from jump. Like, we ain't gonna get in.
That's gonna come. You know what? I was talking about before this recording how I was going to need you to pull me back from gushing about her. But since you said Kazon, it made me think of alliances. And so when we get to the bad, I'll have something to talk about. So let's start with the good.
She was a science officer, so clearly very intelligent, clearly someone who's knowledgeable as well. And we do get to see that throughout the series. She is one of those captains that almost any problem in any area comes up, she will know quite a bit already. She will have, some knowledge about it, whether it's the warp core, whether it's them trying to separate a humanoid that was fused into one person. We'll get to that discussion shortly, I'm sure. And we see that she's entirely dedicated to her crew. She's one of those people, kind of like Sisko has faith in people as well. She's along those same lines for me, I think.
Also a badass though, right? Janeway, like Sisko, does everything that you're saying, but she's also a complete and total badass. I'm sorry. I don't understand why there is like a contingent of fandom that finds her like not palatable, because she's amazing.
Well, I think we know why there's a contingent
like her. Well, I was going to mention something also about her past. We talked about her being a science officer, being super intelligent, but Janeway, I don't know if anyone's read the Pathways novel.
Yeah. Okay,
so that's like Jerry Taylor wrote a Janeway biography. It's actually Mosaic. Pathways was the rest of the crew, but
yeah, Mosaic.
Mosaic tells the full story of Catherine Janeway, who she was before she became captain of Voyager, and we find out that, you know, she's done. You know how we have like Miles O'Brien, who was once a captive of the Cardassians, so has Catherine Janeway. And has come through it. You know, she's gone through a lot of adversity in her life. She lost her father. She lost her fiance, her first one, not Mark, who came later. But, you know, she's a strong lady. So, you know, she has sort of that similar background to Sisko in that she's gone through some stuff before she became the leader of her ship.
The good thing about her was that her open-mindedness, you know, how in the beginning she wasn't that hesitant to having the Maquis join her crew, not because also she needed replacements, but also she wasn't gonna leave those people behind either.
Right.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like she's willing to accept people as they come.
Well. You know?
For the most part.
Because it came with conditions. It's like, join my crew. I will keep you safe. We will make it back to the Alpha Quadrant together. But you have to do so as Starfleet officers.
And that was a problem that I had with her initially, too, was that her rigidity to, like, the Starfleet and Federation ideals, I think, was just... It was too heavy-handed. Like she really relied on the Federation a lot, and I get that because she actually says it that that's what they need that in order to retain like a sense of identity while they're out there, so they can retain like that sense of purpose. But there were some times when had she given it up, she might have gotten them home a lot sooner and a bit more comfortably.
Yeah,
True, but that's not her character. She's probably as stubborn as Sisko, maybe even more. Like I noticed that about her. She's because we find out that her birthday is May 20th, and she's a Taurus, and they're notoriously stubborn. So I'm not surprised.
Is that Year of Hell?
Yes.
That explains why.
Year of Hell was Janeway. Peak Janeway. But she was not wrong.
She went down with the ship.
Like a good captain.
Yes, but she was not wrong. That's the thing. Like, I feel like that's a common like refrain, is that a lot of stuff that Janeway does is not easily swallowed by people, but she's not wrong. And what that guy, oh my gosh, I forgot his name. He's played by the dad from that 70s show. What he was erasing whole civilizations.
Yes.
That's out of line.
He wanted to make his species stronger. And also, it's mostly about his wife, because he lost his wife. So he did all that just to try to save his wife. And in the end, he couldn't.
Yeah, every time he failed.
Yeah.
So let's go through some of her key episodes.
Because if you don't read Mosaic, you can watch Coda, and Sacred Ground, and it gives a few pieces into her background where she talks about these things a little bit. And in Sacred Ground, we actually find out that she has a younger sister, Phoebe, who's the artist in the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was pretty cool. But we see relatively early on in that episode what she's willing to go through to save her crew. Because you see the three people that are like the guides or whatever. And they're like, you don't have to make this so difficult. You're really making this too hard on yourself. And... you know, eventually she figures out, I was making that too hard. Because the whole thing to save Kes was like going through some trial or whatever. But it was based on a person's personality a little bit and what they thought they needed to go through versus what they actually had to do.
I love that episode.
It's a good episode.
That was a fantastic episode. And I don't think that there's an episode of the of any of the series that illustrates just how much a captain is willing to sacrifice for their crew. Like, we've seen, you know, captains willing to sacrifice for the mission, for their families, stuff like that, you know. But we've never seen a captain willing to sacrifice that willing to sacrifice themselves for their crew as we saw Janeway do in that episode.
Yeah.
She put everything on the line for Kes in that episode. I was saying, that was amazing.
Yeah, because fast forward to season 7 where we see Q, he comes back with his son, Q, and, you know, she's like, what are you doing? Why are you having me look after your son? And Q was like, well, he's the first child ever born in the continuum. I don't know how to parent. And she's like, I'm not a parent either. And Q points out, well, you're not biologically a parent, but you are a mother to this crew. And that's very true. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where she's not only a mother to the adults of the crew, she's a mother to the children of the crew as well.
Yeah. Like, I think Janeway, certainly more so than Picard, definitely represented the whole village leader, not just the captain and not just community leader.
Yeah. I love her interactions with the children, especially Naomi Wildman.
I'm almost at the point in my rewatch where she's born. I'm so excited.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Deadlock is at the end of 3? I thought Deadlock was at the end of 2.
Oh, no, she's born. She was born already. She was born already. I'm just waiting for her to, like, do her spontaneous grow up.
You know, those two episodes give a little bit more background to who Janeway is in terms of her past. And we find out her father's Admiral Edward Janeway. So she follows in her father's footsteps and decides to become this Starfleet officer like he did. But like Tia mentioned, you loses him and her fiance at the time, Justin, to a shuttle accident. Which is so tragic because she was involved in the same accident and was the sole survivor.
Yikes.
She
took a year long break from from everything. She took a year long break and was like just at home in Bloomington, Indiana, chilling, trying to recuperate physically, mentally, emotionally. And anyone would need to, right? Because that's tragic. You lose two very important people in your life in an accident and you're the sole survivor. That sucks. That would suck. Again, back to Year of Hell, she's self-sacrificing. Once again, we see that because she literally she rams Voyager into this time ship.
And she says it's a year she wants to forget. That's what it is.
Okay. I don't blame her. I don't blame her.
I mean, that's her character though, because Endgame.
At that point they lost so much already, right? Like a good portion of the crew was like gone.
Yep.
They were spread out everywhere because she had them leave and they joined a different group, but she had them leave. Tuvok was hurt.
You know, it's funny that you bring up hurt Tuvok, because really, when isn't Tuvok hurt? That guy spends about 30% of every season so far on injured reserve.
maybe Marisha should take her anti-Worf sentiment and look at Tuvok's record.
Seriously. Seriously. I mean, Tuvok's a better investigator than Worf, because who wouldn't be? But, you know, when it comes down to scraps, I'm not sure that Tuvok has a much better record.
So I'm going to start pot a bit. A good decision. Tuvix.
Yes.
Janeway did the right thing.
Agreed.
That was exactly the right thing to do.
That was hard.
And I'm so tired of people using that as a way to describe her as like this monster. When you see her in the episode, like she's struggling with the decision. Yep. Because she's gotten to know Tuvix, but she also has this long history with Tuvok. Neelix, she's known for 2 years time passage on Voyager, 2 years, I guess, at this point. And she struggles with it even after she separates them.
Yep, you see her walk out that corridor and she's like, she kind of second guesses herself a little bit. And you see it on her face.
But while she's doing it. She won't do it in front of people.
Yeah, while she's doing it, she's having an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that I liked about Star Trek, the way they used the camera work to take a close up on these captains. As that's the only time we actually get to see their real emotions.
Yeah.
When they're alone, and then you suddenly do see their sadness, their emotions. And no, that was a hard decision, but at the same time, people want to use that argument against her, then you're talking about killing two other people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at it like basically in that basic Star Trek terms, right? The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah.
There were two people versus one. Plus the relationships the crew had already had with Tuvok and Neelix.
Plus their families.
You saw the looks on their faces, on the crew's faces, when Tuvix didn't want to sacrifice himself. They all were like, "Nah, you're done. You're done. And I don't understand how it's even a question at that point. The entire crew wanted them back. He'd only been there for 2 weeks.
Here's the thing. Fuck him for making it so difficult. Yes. That's all I'm going to say. Because at the beginning of the episode, we see him helping them figure out how the whole deal happened in the first place. So, dude, why 2 weeks later when they say, it's time for you to be yeeted out of existence, why you got a problem all of a sudden?
Well, I get why he like had a problem all of a sudden, because it meant he was going to die. But I think about the episode from Enterprise when
I know exactly what you're talking about, the
clone trip, and he took it like a champ.
He did.
Not to the end. Not until Archer told him, "I will kill you myself."
That's true. That's true. Okay?
And that one is worse.
I forgot that part right there.
Yeah, that's way worse than what
Janeway. I'm
going to
tell you how that one is worse than Janeway. Tuvix was an accident. Archer co-signed the creation of another life and then said, "I'm gonna kill you."
Yeah.
No, the other thing about Tuvix is that he shouldn't see it as his death, because he was still gonna live on in old form, in two different forms.
Exactly. Which was the argument he made about why he should exist. Oh, because they live on in me. Okay, you'll live on in Tuvok and Neelix.
Yeah.
It's true.
I just don't get why they don't. When these things happen, they don't immediately put the duplicate in stasis. Don't let them walk around and have a whole life.
Do you think that was something of a?
He really should have been in stasis on a bio bed, like exactly. Chill out.
Exactly, we'll wake you up when it's time to when it's time to put you down.
Yeah, should have hit him with that hypo spray off rip. Go to sleep.
We'll see you in 2 weeks when we got this figured out.
Yep. Do you think that was more of like trying to just have the plot, or more of like we just didn't think about it then? Because that would have not been my first thought, honestly.
Well, I think that's one of those things where like they definitely do it for the plot, but you know, I just kind of think if they kind of want to make their lives, the lives of the crew easier, put them down.
It makes sense what you're saying now. It actually makes sense. Like if I were a captain and someone suggests, I'm like, that makes sense. Yes, put them asleep. Because we are going to separate.
I mean, but that would solve a lot of problems on Star Trek if they just put people to sleep though. So.
brings us to another episode with Equinox, right? Same thing.
She people was right. Like,
thank you. Ramsey out here in the Delta Quadrant committing murder, mass murder, borderline genocide, right? Just to try and get home a little early. And, you know, isn't it the Federation's policy to respect other cultures and all that stuff?
Even so, that wasn't a policy, that was still horrible because he's killing these beings that are intelligent, that were trying to help you. They came out of their universe to say hello, to interact, and suddenly they're being attacked and killed? Oh, gosh. No, Ramsey deserved what he got.
I just wonder though. I'm sure there are members of the crew who were like, "I wish Captain Janeway would have pulled off something like this."
They knew better than to say it. Aloud.
They know not to say it.
That's true.
Say it to Janeway and see what happens.
Bride of Chaotica would have come out in real life.
Listen, so you know, I was talking with you, all of you beforehand, about how Equinox like Tuvix gets used as a way to show how Janeway is quote unquote unhinged, how she's not fit to be a captain. But it goes with the same thing, like the sort of mass belief that somehow Janeway is supposed to stop people from facing the justice of those that they harmed. Like that, it blows my mind. Like, but of course, I'll put this in the bad section. The Noah Lessing leaving him on the
leaving him in the cargo
bay for the aliens to come in and get him.
I mean, he didn't die.
She said, "But did you die though?" But still. I don't think she would have shed a tear had he gotten killed.
She wouldn't have. Be like, oh well. It would have been, oh well.
Maybe next time, don't mass murder people. So here's the thing. In context of why she did that, though, her interactions with the Equinox ended up with the aliens starting to attack Voyager.
Yep.
With the assumption that they would be doing the same thing that the Equinox was. And so eventually Janeway, who I would say a positive for her is that she does a lot of negotiations in the Delta Quadrant. And this is just another one that she has where she convinces the aliens to chill out. Because, you know, with bothering the Voyager crew, because she's going to bring them Ramsey. And, you know, She's Janeway. She delivers her promises, and she did what she had to do to save her people. And I don't think giving them a murderer is something she's losing sleep over.
She did not lose sleep over that at all.
And how many times did Captain Kirk do that? I mean, he went after crazy ship captains all the time.
He did.
On the Roman planet, bread and circuses, on that other planet with the Yangs and the Comms. I mean, he did it there. And then there are all the evil admirals that he's had to put down over the years. I mean,
Picard in Cardassian space.
Exactly. This is consistent with Star Trek. I talked about it a little while ago about her with the Federation ideals. If you're operating outside the ideals of Starfleet and the Federation, the captains on Star Trek put you down. It's what has always been the case.
Yeah, Sisko had no issues with that, knowing that a good portion of the Maquis wore Starfleet.
Yeah, that's why Sisko was so angry at the Maquis, was because those people were violating the Starfleet code. I mean, you know, I bring it up every 5 minutes, but Sisko wiped out the entire ecosystem of the planet because a guy did it.
And a lot of people hold that as a badass move.
Yeah.
They don't hate on him on that.
Exactly. But Janeway, she's terrible for it. But that's, again, not why they think she's terrible.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If they went in on, I would say, like, Admiral Janeway in Endgame, I can understand a bit. Because in the end, it's the same thing I've said about Picard's beef with the Borg. Like, the Borg drones themselves are people who were kidnapped and held against their will. And they don't have any control over what they do. And so when Janeway decides that she's just going to give them she's going to drop a biological / technological virus into the Borg systems, you know, she's not doing the right thing for a lot of the drones. I understand why she's doing it. To try and fix the problems of, you know, the deaths that happened once they got back to the Alpha Quadrant. But it's not the right thing to do. It was never a good thing.
No, we'll get to that. I mean, we'll get to
that. Yeah, I would love to talk about that one.
Yeah, I think another good for Janeway that was actually really fun was the episode Bride of Chaotica. And that's the one where they come across these aliens that are photonic aliens, and they don't see humans as being real, but someone like the Doctor is very much real to them because he's a hologram, so he's photon based. And y'all can't see it, but I have the Bride of Chaotica with her in the costume and black and white and stuff. And I just thought that was another episode. It shows her in a little bit more of a lighthearted manner. And through the entire process of them trying to, you know, fix this situation and everything like that, we see her thinking on her feet throughout the whole deal, because it kind of goes sideways a little bit. And so she's having to improvise how she's maneuvering through the program to try and make sure that she gets this holographic character to do what she needs him to do, so that they can get this fissure or whatever that was happening closed up, and Voyager can move on. So I thought that was a fun, lighthearted episode. I really liked it.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me about that is that it seems like that's a trend, not a trend, but like a theme on Voyager throughout the entire series so far. I say so far because I'm on midway through season three, is photonic life being considered real life. And Janeway and Kes started that way back in early season one, when they decided to respect the Doctor like they respected any other member of the crew.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, that says a lot about Janeway as a character, that she was willing to be on the forefront of really, you know, accepting a whole new species into their, you know, the Federation's mindset. Because no one was thinking of photonic life as real life, even on Next Gen, when they had Moriarty trapped in that thing, in that little memory buffer,
yep,
even though they knew that he was alive. Their respect for artificial life only went as far as Data.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and after that, it was like, oh, no, they're just robots. Who cares? Except for the exocomps, excuse me. But that was only because Data pushed on that.
He pushed on the exocomp deal hard.
Yeah. And, you know, I we've got Janeway, I think, taking that a whole other step, where she's like, you know, this program that can think on for itself is life.
It helped so much that her as a captain saw him as starting to be self-aware, because that also helps the other crew members to start respecting the Doctor, even though the Doctor had his moments of like being the rudest.
That brings to mind the episode Latent Image, right? Where the Doctor had where his ethical subroutine just had him in this loop about the decision that he made as a Doctor. And she, well, are we done with the good? Because this is kind of a bad for her.
I think we'll probably just mix it. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is a bad for her. I mean, initially she was not doing the right thing. She just kept deleting his memories and tampering with his memories. And her speaking with Seven of Nine made her realize that she was wrong, because Seven pointed out, just because the Doctor is technology or he's technologically based or whatever, he is a life form, and you guys have embraced that. But how have you embraced that fully? Would you be so quick to let me go back to the collective?
You want me to read you want me to read it out? I got the quote right here.
Oh, well, shit, go ahead.
It is unsettling. You say that I am a human being, and yet I am also Borg. Part of me not unlike your replicator, not unlike the Doctor. Will you one day choose to abandon me as well? I've always looked to you as my example, my guide to humanity. Perhaps I've been mistaken.
And yeah, she was. She was right. Seven was right, because how dare you sit there and take it upon yourself to make a decision for someone that you're saying is sentient and has their own, you know, identity and personality, but you take it upon yourself to try and fix them in a way that you think is correct. So letting the doctor work it out in the holodeck the way he needed to, eventually she did the right thing, but initially no, and that's a bad for her. I didn't like how she had done that.
To be fair,
his memory.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, I agree that it was not the best decision in hindsight. No. But
he is their
only medical officer on the ship, essentially.
and then, to be fair, they saw him as a person, but they couldn't help themselves to see him as a program. So when you're writing, even today, if you're writing a program and it's stuck in a loop, that's how they saw the doctor, that he was getting stuck in a loop. And it's like, okay, so how can we? They looked at it that way, and it's sad, because then you forgot about his actual life.
Mm-hmm. So Janeway justifies the deletion of the doctor's memories, or blocking them, because I think she blocked them. She didn't delete them, right? They were in a separate part.
No, she deleted them because she
downloaded them back again, though, so he could remember what happened. So I think they were present somewhere, just not in his program. And she justifies it by saying that, you know, she couldn't afford to lose the doctor because of their situation in the Delta Quadrant, and so they needed him operating at peak efficiency. Does the justification matter in this context, do you think?
To a degree, well, yes.
Yeah, but knowing the doctor, for me, no.
Ultimately, no, because, again, it comes down to you taking away his choices and him deciding for himself and him being able to work it out for himself, which he does eventually. It took him a while.
So we're talking about a few choices that are questionable. I have a question, and you could tell me if this was a questionable / bad decision on Janeway's part. Partnering with the Borg against species 8472 in Scorpion.
It is questionable, but at the end it was the right thing to do, because that species was, if they would have beaten the Borg, they straight out said that they were going to kill everyone in that universe.
Yep, the Borg went into their space first and started the ship.
The Borg started. Is it
worse than partnering with the Trabe?
I don't know. Because that was a hot ass mess.
And alliances. Is, ugh.
We will get into that later. Species 8472, initially is very questionable, and it's damn near a no. It's damn near a bad in terms of the decision, but it's kind of what she had to do. Are we going to put Fairhaven as bad? Fairhaven and Spirit Folk? Because, you know,
listen, I don't know. Star Trek really should not write about Irish people ever again. I'm sorry. After TNG, they should never try, because they do terrible things every time. They need to be stopped.
I'm going to say Fairhaven and all that, and the way Janeway was with that hologram, bad. That just left a bad taste in my mouth, because
Michael, changes him so he can suit her.
Yeah.
Listen, and then you say you want a sex toy, Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager, and move on.
You deleted a wife, remember? Like,
oh, yeah, the whole wife.
Delete the wife. Computer, delete the wife. Yo. Pushing on for the bad in terms of Janeway. 11:59.
I didn't appreciate her reaction.
Yeah.
Finding out her... her ancestor wasn't as, in her idea, incredible as she was imagining. Because I'm all like, dude, don't look down on people. Everyone plays a part in life. in this journey that we go through. Not everyone could be badass, bigger than life characters like herself.
Yeah, right? So her name was Shannon O'Connell or O'Donnell or something like that, and she meets Janeway. She meets her future husband, and her family story had always been, you know, Shannon, she was this great astronaut, she was one of the first people to go to Mars and all this and that. And it turns out that she tried to be an astronaut, but she ends up becoming an engineer, because for whatever reason she couldn't make it into the astronaut program. I think all the slots were taken up. Like, it wasn't anything with her not being smart enough, good enough, blah, blah, blah. I think it was just all the slots were taken up and they're like, nope, we're good. She could be an engineer. And so from there, the story went that she did all these things that she didn't actually do. And she looks at it as if it's a bad thing. And it's like, no, this was your ancestor. And without her, you know, you probably wouldn't exist. Like, you literally probably wouldn't exist.
And then the pivotal moment of the whole story was the Millennium Gate. And she played her part in making the Millennium Gate happen. It just wasn't the way that Janeway was told.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't the town against her. It was the man that she marries against the entire town, because he was just stubborn. Which, surprise, surprise, Janeway is as stubborn as he was, like, yes. For real. Yeah. She's just as stubborn.
Any idea what the Janeway protocol is? Like, it's been mentioned a few times.
Isn't it like shoot up. Has a bunch of photon torpedoes at it?
It's blow shit up. We decided that.
Shouldn't it be blow shit up and ignore the prime directive?
Did she ignore the prime directive, though?
Most of the time, yeah. Sometimes she did. She, like, legit.
But other times, she was, like, way too connected to the prime directive. Like, she way too was.
Married. But you know, I will say, the episode Blink of an Eye, that was totally accidental. They did not mean to be such a big influence on that alien species. It was totally by accident that happened. Yeah.
Not like 30
Wait, which
days.
Was which episode was that?
This is
Blink of an Eye. This is like as season
six.
Five or six? Season six. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, this is after like 30 days though, where we got to see like Janeway do something other captains do not, which is punish their crew members when they go full tilt into breaking the prime directive. Usually they're just like, oh, okay, welcome back. Like we talked about Sisko allowing Dax to just come back and chill with the crew after her murder trip. We have Data like doing his whole talking to the little girl and prime director and pen pals. Tom Paris decides he's gonna go and blow up an oxygen manufacturing factory, and Janeway almost kills him. She was about to kill him to stop him from doing it, because it would have gotten them into a conflict with an entire species. And once he gets back to the ship, she takes away his rank and puts him in jail for 30 days. The episode's called 30 Days, by the way.
It's exactly what she was
and
supposed
still,
to do.
Tom Paris gets to be made lieutenant before Harry Kim.
Right?
That's
true.
That's here's the thing. Here's
like,
the-
I... Oh.
In hindsight, I would much rather have seen Tuvok as first officer versus Chakotay, simply because I think Tuvok would have been a better first officer. His relationship also, I think, kind of helped Catherine in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think had he, because when he has disagreements with her, he doesn't come off as, oh, you're being crazy, you're irrational right now, like it does with Chakotay.
Mm-hmm.
He's more, their first officer relationship is very contentious. It kind of reminds me of Janeway in or Sisko and Kira in that regard. Like,
yeah,
he just gets really nasty with her sometimes. And I'm like, really? Y'all want her banging this dude?
Yeah.
When he damn near flees her? Okay.
All right. I'm going to tag this post when we post this episode as anti-JC agenda. And so...
Thank you. Because I see that hashtag JC deserved better. And I'm just
they didn't. I think
you saw that earlier today.
It would have been a good fit for it because of their differing personalities. I think Janeway, with the way that she makes decisions, could have used someone who spoke to her only in logic. And they had him fill that role in some of the early episodes where he would meet her in the ready room and talk her through the situations. It would have been nice to have him as first officer, I think. I think he would have added a lot to that story. And I also like Tuvok as a character. I think Tim Russ did an amazing job playing him. So I would have definitely have liked to know Tuvok more than what we got.
Let's get into the ugly.
Endgame.
Alliances.
Alliances too.
I would say Alliances uglier.
Alliances is ugly as hell. How you gonna take the side of the former? How you gonna take the side of the former oppressors?
Because you're supposed to like look at it as like, okay, they're not their parents' mistakes. You know, they probably have grown. She was probably thinking that, but obviously she was wrong.
We know in real life that
But it's so interesting in that episode. It's like, it's been 30 years. They haven't gotten over it yet? What?
Like, they say that in those words, those very words. It's not even subtext.
Yeah, it's like it's 30
years. And it's Neelix.
Like, was that trying to reach in real life or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Neelix and Chakotay, two characters who have been established to hold grudges against their oppressors, say that. Neelix is, like, mad because... You know, Dr. Mengele destroyed his family, which is understandable. And then you've got Chakotay, who's, you know, we just talked about, his family's been being oppressed by the Cardassians. And they say to forgive this guy? To forgive the Trabe? No.
Yeah,
after they did it on themselves to, like, to what they did with the Kazon.
Yeah, please. And the thing I don't like about the Kazon Trabe thing is that the Kazon are essentially what real life oppressors say about the oppressed.
Yep.
And then
live up to that stereotype. And it's really gross. Because basically what you've got is in the Trabe. You've got South Africa and you've got the Trabe were going, yeah, we were right about those people. And that's why we put them. That's why we had.
And Janeway takes what they say at face value.
Yes.
All right. She doesn't actually learn anything. Once she hears the Kazon's history and Alliances, then she's like, oh, okay. But that still doesn't give them the right to do this. It's like, well, The whole behavior of the Kazon, like the gangs, because we talked about this, about the Kazon being based off of 1990s gangs, West Coast gangs. This was behavior that the Trabe started in them. And she doesn't pay them, like she doesn't give them any sort of empathy. Like she doesn't feel any of it. Uh-huh. And until the Trabe backstab her and try to murder every last Kazon leader at the meeting. And it's like, well, Catherine, you should have seen this coming.
They told you that they were terrible people.
Yeah, when people show you who they are the first time, believe them.
They need Maya Angelou in the future. I just like...
And their behavior towards the Kazon, the feelings on the Kazons have not changed. That should have been a great indicator that these people have not changed. These people still look down on the Kazons as if they were lesser beings.
Well, to be fair, so did everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
Talaxians did.
Yep. The Borg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Borg wouldn't even bother.
Oh yeah, the Borg didn't. Yes.
They would not assimilate them because listen, we talked about this. I'm not going to get into it. We talked about this already. It's trash.
Tia don't get heated. Oh Lord.
You know that episode? Oh.
Yeah, we know it gets under your skin. We know it's.
But it's just Janeway should have been better.
Yep.
Because other times she's shown not to take things like that, like, oh, they were oppressors, and then go, okay, we'll work with them anyway. Like, that was not the way she's acted in other instances. But for that episode, she was fine with going on with the Trabe and ignoring their ugly history.
Especially but then again, she did the same thing with the Borg.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. That's an ugly too.
Her and the Borg.
She held a bigger grudge against the Borg than maybe they, well, the only person to have a bigger grudge against the Borg is Picard. Yeah. But
Picard should have sat in a room and had a little, you know, talk.
The thing is, my question would be, why she I don't think she has the right to be as mad as Picard.
She doesn't. And that's what makes it kind of weird and ugly, because it's like they didn't assimilate you. As a matter of fact, when you got assimilated, it was on purpose.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice you get assimilated on purpose by the Borg. The first time it's to infiltrate
Zero, them. Right?
Yeah, Unimatrix Zero. Is it Unimatrix Zero?
Or is it the other one? I want to say it's Unimatrix Zero.
Where she voluntarily got assimilated is Unimatrix.
Yeah, because there's Unimatrix Zero, Dark Frontier, Scorpion, and Endgame. It's so many two-parters, but those are the Borg two-parters.
Yeah.
Voyager.
Do you think she got mad because she just doesn't like being betrayed? Because in the end of a Scorpion. Obviously the Borg was going to betray her, and they did. Do you think that's why she was so pissed off? Because, yeah, I agree with you.
That would make her so petty.
I wonder, though, if it's not just because of Seven and what she saw in the Unimatrix. Like, she is appalled by what the Borg do. Like, what the Borg do are so anathema to what she believes that she's just becomes their mortal enemy.
Wow. She made herself their mortal enemy, that's for sure. Yeah.
Like, the children.
Entirely...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it just might be that she's so outraged by the Borg that, and she sees it, and more than any other captain. I mean, Picard, you know, periodically sees them and they come back and do something horrible to him every time.
Janeway has to go through their entire
exactly space. She witnesses the whole thing,
all the planets that they devastated in the Delta Quadrant. She gets to see.
Yep.
Yeah, which Delta Quadrant as a whole is a mess. But still, though. It just comes off, a lot of what she does in terms of the Borg is kind of problematic. I got to give her the side eye sometimes with some of those decisions. I'm like, I get it. It's the Borg. They do horrible shit, destroy entire civilizations and all that. But really, chick? Okay. All right.
I don't know why the writing for Voyager wanted to give her an enemy like that, and I don't think it was necessary. I think the Borg could have had appeared in the season 4 when they did Scorpion and had that been the end of it.
Yep.
But the Borg kept coming back. Like, we get 7 of 9, and then of course we would explore them from 7's perspective, because I think that matters, particularly in context of what TNG showed us. With Picard and the Borg, we got to see how it works for someone like Seven, who had been there long term. The people that Picard doesn't think about when he's like, kill them all, right? So,
right.
But yeah. Outside of that, we didn't need Dark Frontier. We didn't need Unimatrix Zero. And I can understand why the transwarp conduit was important to the story. But I didn't think it needed to be something placed so far later. Like, you're in Borg space 3 times. It's weird.
But that was when Paramount was like marketing the Borg. I mean, the Borg were, I mean, in the movie. The Borg game. You had the Borg in Vegas, you know, which was fantastic. But in any case, they were in the middle of the big marketing push. So, you know, the producers were like, dollar signs. I'm going to put the Borg in every time I can, because every time I can, big ratings. That's why they're also in Enterprise.
We talked about Unimatrix Zero, Janeway and the Borg. her ridiculous choices. She dies to change time, okay, Janeway, and temporal mechanics.
Let's go ahead and talk about the Q and the Gray. That was also an ugly. Just ugly.
Is that her fault?
It's not her fault, but still, though.
So can it be ugly if it's not Janeway?
I don't think that counts as an ugly. That's,
no, all right.
When we roast Q, I think we could cover that one. Because, yeah. I mean, we will have to. He's basically going to be in seasons 2 and 3 of Picard, so we'll have to talk about him anyway. So, okay, we've covered Janeway's interactions with the Borg, with the Kazon. I think she was correct about getting the fuck away from the Vizians when they popped up, because, you know, organ theft is and organ trafficking is a terrible thing. We've talked about her in Species 8472. What about the Hirogen? I think that's the last major Voyager race with the Killing Game in Season 4.
She was right.
She was right to give them the tech?
Yes.
I think so, too.
She was right, because... It did, but at the same time, look at what they were doing to her and the crew. They had them on the holodeck all the time,
killing
getting
them, injured,
getting killed. Yes,
there were casualties. Getting hurt, people getting killed.
No, yeah. People literally died, and they would transport them to sick bay, and the doctor would bring them back to life.
But they did actually lose a few. Yeah, they lost a few too.
They did.
Yeah, there were a few that the doctor couldn't save. And so they were not only doing that, they were doing like facial reconstruction so they could go into Klingon programs. Like we saw Klingon Janeway.
We did.
And so, you know, we got to, it was just a really messy episode. Like a lot of death, a lot of, okay, well, here's Janeway having to make another hard choice for her crew. Because if she doesn't, they're all dead. The Hirogen will kill them. And the only reason they got lucky that they didn't kill them was because of the holodeck technology. That was the only thing that essentially saved their lives.
And the Hirogen, they created their own mess. The holograms becoming self-aware and creating a war against them. I can't blame them for doing that. Because they were just nasty...
Anyone who gets enjoyment out of like Nazi holodeck programs is
and killing. Yeah,
bro, you need to see somebody.
It was screwed up.
It was.
But that's an impact of Janeway on that quadrant. Like the way that she moves their species away, and to their. I don't know if people who are interested in talking about like the way people interfere with people's cultural development, think about this, but she changes the future for them.
Well, it wasn't a unilateral decision, right? Remember, she kind of started speaking with the head hunter.
Yeah.
And he even said it himself. He was like, my people are scattered. We're nomadic. All we do is hunt. We're spreading ourselves thin. Our species and our culture is at risk. I need to do something. Will you consider giving me this technology? And of course, little young hot-headed Hirogen kills him, but it wasn't her taking it upon herself to say, this is what I'm gonna do. She actually speaks with this guy and she kind of starts to think to herself, yeah, actually you have a point, especially since you keep killing me and my crew. Which I don't appreciate.
Yeah.
So she did do the right thing, but it was in agreement with, you know, her talking with this head Hirogen, this high ranking Hirogen.
But isn't that what almost got them killed earlier in the series when they chose not to give technology to the, like, just replicator technology to the Kazon? And I mean not just replicator, like just make water technology to the Kazon. She refused to do that.
Catherine Janeway.
You know what? We can categorize that as an ugly. Just everything she did with the Kazon was ugly.
Yeah.
It just is. She just had complete disregard and not the same level of empathy or even basic respect for this humanoid species. Yeah. As she did for everyone
Especially after finding out that they were oppressed.
And exactly.
Because I'm convinced, had they treated the Kazon, maybe not the Kazon that Seska wound up with, because he was stupid.
Kazon Ogla, right? Yeah. Ogla?
No, it was the Kazon Nystrom.
The Kazon Nystrom, except for them, because those were like MAGA Kazon. Yeah. But the rest of them, had she shown them the kind of respect that she showed the Trabe,
yeah,
I feel like she could have made allies without going to the Trabe first. If she had gone to them first, she'd have been cool.
Yep.
And said, I'll give you the ability to make water.
Yeah, especially if that was, because water is essential. In real life, guys, there are wars out on the other side of the world because of water.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you have this situation where these guys are just asking for water?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a spaceship. Just give them the technology.
She should have kicked Neelix off the ship for that. For when he shot the water out, and it's like, why do that?
Why waste all that?
Why waste it?
Yeah, I don't even want to get into that because it's, Neelix and his grossness. But that is a fair point because, here's the reason why they justified her not doing it. Well, what if they make weapons? Okay. Then they gonna make weapons. Like, you can't keep them from doing what it is
they
gonna
do. They can stop replicators from doing that.
Exactly.
That's been established.
And that was another thing. Yep. You could take it, you could program the replicators to where it only replicates certain things.
Water and food. That's
it. That's it. That's all you get. Water and food. Everything else, yon.
Because the thing is, if they figured out how to get around that, odds are technologically they can do a bunch more things anyway, and they're advanced enough to have great that technology.
I love Catherine Janeway, but that was
that was a huge ugliness right there. Yeah.
Yep. A huge ugly. And the guy was right. You created an enemy this day. Mm-hmm. And that was it. as far as blowing up his ship to keep them from attacking they didn't even blow up the ship. And that's what frustrates me, because I watched Caretaker again the other night, and you couldn't destroy their ship. They had more powerful weapons than you, but somehow you don't trust them with replicator technology.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like the Prime Directive applied to in the Kazon's case in any case, because
they were spacefaring people.
Yeah, it's about warp being warp capable. They clearly are warp capable.
Yep.
So why not trade technology with them?
Well, it goes back to the writers and their problem with what they were basing them off of, right? Yeah. It was everything they have belonged to the Trabe first. So it was not stuff that they developed on their own. So why should you, it was really screwed up.
I feel like it's saying something else about other people, but I don't want
to. Just go back and, you guys, just go back and listen to our episode where we talk about Star Trek alien archetypes, and I want to say that's episodes what
it was 11 and 12
11 and 12 all right
the Kazon are specifically in
episode 11
11 yeah,
because we went in you went in more than the rest of us, but we went in hard on some alien species, and the Kazon was one of our picks, and with good reason. Because Janeway's interaction with them from, Caretaker all the way to Basics Parts 1 and 2, which is when we pretty much see the last of the Kazon, it's an ugly. It just is. It takes her character and completely disregards it. Yeah. Someone who's open-minded, someone who, is willing to negotiate and is very much as much of a diplomat as Picard and Sisko. And you completely throw it out the window to give her this illogical, unreasonable grievance over technology against a warp-capable species that rightfully should probably have replicator technology. So it's a mess. It's a whole-ass mess, and I hate it.
Yeah,
and she could have helped them grow socially.
She could have done something better than what the writers had her do, that's for sure.
Yep. And then and they just, they sell it. They're like, oh, they tried to create their own replicators and end up blowing up a ship. And it's just like, okay, they've been able to fix the trade ships that they're using. So they have the scientific wherewithal. So,
well, the justification was they don't know how to use Federation technology.
Seska was there.
Exactly.
It didn't even
make sense. Seska give them Cardassian technology?
I don't know.
Why? Because the Cardassians were just as advanced as the Federation.
Exactly.
Especially in their torture. She probably gave them, helped them out with that, how to torture people.
For them to throw out her character that they established, to just take those characteristics and disregard them with all of her Kazon interactions, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely terrible. So, anyone have any shout-outs?
I'd like to shout out our listeners for joining us on our 19th episode, the Juneteenth Live, on YouTube and Twitch. Those are still there if you would like to view them if you missed it. Also, we'd like to point your attention to the People's Choice Awards for podcasts. We are up to be nominated for Best Black Podcast. If you have the time, please go to the site and register and vote for Black Alert Podcast. We are hoping to make the list. Thanks.
Give a shout out to you guys, and thank you guys for allowing me to take part in this. So thank you so much. I'm honored.
Oh, no problem. We love having guests. I'm happy you accepted the invitation when I extended it to you, which I'm going to go ahead per my usual and shout out our listeners who tune in every week. Thanks for all the love, you guys. Thanks for all the support. Please go vote for us, blackalertpodcast.com. We also have a website, and if you want to know more about us and get all of our episodes in one location and get some traffic to our site, we would appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and thank everybody who it gives us regular feedback about the shows they're listening to. Like, we really appreciate it. It's nice to know we're not speaking into the void here. Though we would talk anyway.
It's right?
It's okay.
That's true. That's very true.
Absolutely. So thank you for joining us for our 20th episode. And until next time, love, peace, and Star Trek.
Deuces, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.